Welcome to Outsiders Podcast with your host, me, Brandon Woodall, and this is Brett Welty. This is our first episode ever together. It's just a culmination of us getting together. That was my Bible slapping against my hand.
Because we are those. We are Bible slappers.
Yes, we are. We slap people with our Bibles.
Yes, we do.
But first, let's just have Brett. How about you talk about yourself a little bit? Introduce yourself.
Well, my favorite topic.
Yourself?
Yes.
Perfect.
So we'll start there. My name is Brett Welty. I am married to a lovely woman named Naomi. We have four children, and I do work full-time in the transportation industry. I do also serve...
Transportation?
Yeah.
Like buses?
No. The shipping and delivering of products. So,
wait a second. Are you saying you're a bus driver?
I'm saying I'm like the UPS man with bigger stuff, is what I'm saying. Except I don't drive the trucks. I manage the guys that do these things. But outside of that, one of my greatest passions is to follow the Lord through being an elder of a local church, as well as I'm pursuing a master's of divinity to potentially go into full-time vocational ministry someday. But we're going to see what the Lord leads. But I've had just a wonderful time over the last 6 months getting to know my co-host, Brandon, and we've had so many good conversations. We thought it would be beneficial to all of us to just get together, talk it out, and just think, what is it like to bring the Bible to real life, which is what we're hoping to do, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. So I'm Brandon, if you didn't know already, since I introduced myself. So I started this podcast technically way back at the beginning of 2020, probably right around the time of the pandemic unfolding, if I looked at the dates right. So I've been wanting to do podcasts for a while. But with past episodes I've recorded, I've had a pretty long life of doing some sort of ministry. But it's kind of hit ahead with different kind of like theologies and biblical mindsets and stuff like that, that I stopped doing that, stopped pursuing, I guess, full-time ministry and stuff like that, and slowed down. But I had felt the Lord kind of calling or just leading me to slow down because I've just been going for so long. But I do have a wife as well. Her name is Bethany. She's amazing. I've got two boys named Gideon and Elijah.
Being married, we have guaranteed two listeners. I think we're locked in with two.
But, Brett and I've been, Bethany and I were talking about it today, which is September 2nd, by the way, that we've almost been going to Morningside Baptist for a whole year.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is blowing my mind.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But, it's been like the best for our lives. We're in a pretty tight community now, and we're all striving to love the Lord and become like Him and be like Him and be with Him.
That's right.
Show that to our neighbors and our coworkers. And, but with my vision with Outsiders originally was to challenge being comfortable and being comfortable and like the American church and stuff. Granted, some of it was a little cynical and probably just from the state of being I was in. So I just kind of vented on a platform, which sometimes is good and sometimes is not good. And I don't like mine was indifferent, but we wanted to stick with the Outsiders theme.
Yep.
Do you have any want to add on?
Absolutely. I think what we're trying to do is bring together that angsty love for change, mm-hmm. and in our love for wanting to be unique, right? We need to be an outsider on two levels, right, Brandon? Yeah. We need to be outside of the culture, which all Christians believe.
Yeah.
All Christians believe that there are things about the culture we should love and not love, and we want to be outside of that on some level, but we also want to be outside of the cliches of the American church. Mm-hmm. We want to be true Jesus followers, disciples of Jesus. That's one of the things I've learned from you is you when we first met, you were talking about following the way. And I loved that phraseology of saying the way, because it's a way of life. It's not, I go to this church and I do these types of Christian things, or I do this or that, but really it's a way of life. And I think our big goal with this podcast is to present the Bible well, to be missionary minded, and to apply theology to our real lives. That's what you and I talk about when the mics aren't on.
Oh yeah.
So this is really just an extension of what we're trying to figure out ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We just want to do it.
I thought about that a little bit today of how, just that, like the image that we perceive, as Christians and stuff like that, and how we're, I think right now in the culture, okay, so like when you grew up, because you're
so much older than you, a fossil.
but it was kind of weird to be a Christian.
Yes.
When I grew up, it was probably the same ballpark, a little more hostile, but now.
Yeah, definitely not hostile when I was a kid. Yeah. There was a lot more cultural Christianity. Agreed.
But now, being a Christian, in some sense, is a threat to society itself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because it's been presented kind of skewed.
Mm.
And it's very tunnel visioned to either be hardcore alt-right conservative or just indifferent.
Right.
Or not open to talking about really gritty, hard subjects and kind of make more being passive, or we can even go into the prosperity gospel, which is, I think, I would hope most people would understand that that's false and a joke.
I don't see how you can be a part of it for long before you realize, this isn't what he's saying, isn't what my life looks like.
Yeah. So, as I say, it's not like there's so many different things, but that comes with a culture of mass marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Kind of presenting a product,
right,
and promoting the product to be as successful as possible,
right.
And sadly, that is leaked all over Christianity, but it's missed the mark,
big time.
I could mention the YouTube video, the megachurch YouTube video,
yes,
of
sadly accurate
this idol built for capitalism. And maybe Jesus.
And maybe. Maybe. But, I don't know. Maybe.
But I do think it's, I think there's a need. And honestly, I've seen, there's a lot of young adults that have come in this last year to the Morningside Baptist. Because Pastor Dave and yourself and a lot of the elders preach the gospel. There's a very big need for it, and I think people are seeing that they want truth, they want real truth, not like we said, not a pyramid scheme,
right?
You do these three things and you tell these three people,
right?
The kind of thing like that,
so, exactly.
It's
an interesting thing that Jesus says about his church. He says that I will build my church, and he always says that. It is me who, and this is actually in Matthew 16, it says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So there's always a group of Christians. God always is faithful through Christ to bring his church together. And often I think we see these times of pruning where those dead branches who cling to Christianity because they thought it would gain them something, give them something, those are going away, and the people that'll be left will be those who want to be there. And so we're going to, hopefully we're speaking to that crowd, the people that want to grow in their faith and say, how do we make sense of, my life, I go to church on Sunday and I hear biblical truth, and then I go to work Monday or I go with my, and it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a big part of what this is our introduction or our layout episode, a big thing we want to take topics and just think, How does Christian theology, theology meaning the understanding of God, how does this apply to my real life today? I mean, it's It's such a big deal.
I know. I think sometimes, and I'll be honest about it, obviously, but it's like, I think the lens of like Western theology and stuff like that
mm-hmm.
is totally skewed what it actually means to be a follower.
Mm-hmm.
I think of like Romans 12:2
mm-hmm.
of like, oh, let's read it.
Yeah.
We pull it up and read it for you.
There you go.
But it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, which I think we're in an age of spirituality.
Yep.
But
people are not getting less spiritual.
No, they're getting more and more spiritual. Mm-hmm. Almost, right. In some ways, hyper-spiritual.
I agree.
And so we'll keep going on. But it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I've been dealing with this topic of spiritual and spirituality. What does that, like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, mm-hmm. what is a deep spiritual walk with the Lord look like?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean for the culture around us?
Right.
You know, like, what, right. like, how does that, how do, if we are trying to fulfill the gospel of sending the good news to people,
mm-hmm.
to create disciples, mm-hmm. to create people that are going to change their lives into a lifestyle based around the ways that Jesus lived and the practices mm-hmm. that he did, not to make it legalistic or by any means,
mm-hmm.
but if we're supposed to follow Jesus, that means we do what he did,
right?
Which would be like preach the gospel mm-hmm. or fasting or you name it.
Sure.
Like silence and solitude. Right. That's a practice that I've been
right.
really trying to adopt. And
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. it's so noisy, because life is noisy.
Yes.
And it's not getting any quieter.
Well, I would argue that everything about our lives is meant to stop us from thinking, right? Think about your phone, think about social media, think about notifications. And, you know, you notice on your phone, do you want push notifications, right? Do you pushed to me? Do I proactively want to be told I have a work email? Do I want to know that I got that email on Saturday when I'm not supposed to be working?
Sure.
You're right. It's
It's because they want our attention.
Yep.
And the enemy
mm-hmm.
uses that to mm-hmm. dismantle
right
our faith.
Yeah.
Because we get so distracted.
Right.
I mean, I'm guilty.
Sure.
You know, you just start tunneling, you doom scroll mm-hmm. something new that I've heard. I've never heard it before. It sounds like someone's doom scrolling.
Sure.
So you're just constantly going and going and going mm-hmm. till the point of it's like 2 or 3 hours. Like, have you ever looked at your screen time measurements?
No, thanks.
It's terrible.
Can I tell you?
Mine was terrible.
When they launched that, do you know when I would get the notification? 8:30 on Sunday mornings. I'm walking into church and I can see how much time I spent on Facebook this week.
Yeah.
I had to turn it off. I said, I can't walk into church with this kind of burden on my back. I can't handle it. And I think, but man, what you read out of Romans 12, I mean, and we're talking about, you're dancing around all of these things that Paul says in Romans 12, right? He's saying we need to live a living sacrifice. That's our that's our life now. Our life is a sacrifice to God.
Yeah.
That's our spiritual worship, like you said. But what's beautiful about this text is it tells you, how does it happen? By the mercies of God, right? And then what do we think about? We don't want to be conformed to the world, but transformed by God. So like you said, it's this intentional.
Well, like think of the, like, you want to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important because our minds are skewed.
Right.
We're born helpless,
mm-hmm.
nasty sinners.
Right.
Because it's like it's in our minds.
Right. We come out of the box that way.
The heart.
That's exactly right. Exactly. You know? We can't think right apart from God.
Yeah.
So the beauty of what you're saying, and I think what you're talking about, is the out of the heart.
Yeah.
In the mind of someone that has been transformed is a desire to live this life. Paul's very clear about that. He says, once you have been transformed, you want this life.
Yeah.
And what I've seen, I know in your life over the last year that we've known each other, this is mm-hmm. a big thing for you. I mean, I've seen you take steps into walking into what does it look like to follow Christ in every way. And it's encouraging to me to see. And I think anybody that knows you would say the same thing. And, but the beauty of it is you're not unique in that, right? We're all pursuing that. Yeah. And it's, and as
I say, I would have wanted like, and it's not even to me like to stand out. Mm-hmm. Cause if it's just me standing out, I'm covered in tattoos and I'm strange. Like I'm weird. Or whatever.
No weirder than anyone. No, I know. But yes, saying, I understand the
argument. I go and talk to random homeless people.
Yes,
you because do. I like to hear their stories and many conversations.
Many a text.
Yes.
Many a text.
But it was like, so I'm like, if it was me, I wouldn't even choose God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I wouldn't, what purpose would I would, what, mm-hmm. like in my flesh,
right.
would I ever want to choose someone to tell me, like, to submit?
Right. Right.
But with Christ,
mm-hmm.
he's humbling me to mm-hmm. submit
right.
for worship
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for his glory.
Amen.
So it's out of my hands. It's right. like any of the stuff like in life that I would just screw up,
mm-hmm.
it's out of my hands.
Right.
Because
right.
God guides it and he changes the mind and he changes the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because we always talk about soul and spirit and how we want to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But man, like, don't make that the goal, like the
right.
not the only end goal. Like,
right.
make the goal to be exactly how Jesus was.
Right.
We're never gonna meet. Like, we're gonna screw it up.
Right.
Because we're not God incarnate.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that connection, but we have the Holy Spirit,
right,
in us,
mm-hmm.
who is part of the Holy Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God in three.
Right.
So it's like we have this Spirit in us. To guide us to, we'll just say, the good life.
Right. And the true good life,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It is true. And I was looking for it. It's funny, whenever you and I talk,
we
always go so many directions. And sure. I had this idea where we were going and we didn't go there. But so I can't find the reference. But Jesus says in the book of John, he says, this is eternal life, that you would know me. And know my Father. So we have eternal life in our hands now for followers of Christ. We're living our eternal life is fellowship with Christ forever. I heard it said years ago, if you could get to heaven and you had everything you wanted, every desire of your heart, but Jesus was absent, would you be okay with that? And the answer, if you say yes, then you don't understand heaven.
Yeah.
Because heaven isn't about I get to golf all the time or I get to see all my dead relatives. Those might or might not be things that we don't know how heaven's going to look. But what we should know and desire is that we're growing nearer and nearer to our Savior.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing now. We get a foretaste of heaven when we silence in solitude, when our minds are transformed. We get this foretaste, this little peek behind the curtain of what will be our eternity.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Yeah. And when the Lord meets you in that time of prayer or a time in the Word, or I think the Lord will even meet you sometimes when you're fellowshipping like we do, where you get this taste. You know, in Psalm 16, it says, at your right hands are treasures forevermore. This presence of God, this heaven breaking through gives us eternal life as, you know, as we pursue him now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I thought 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18.
Okay. It
says, For I do this of my own will, I have a reward.
Mm.
But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
What then is my reward? Then my preaching, I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's our stewardship. We've steward the life.
Right.
And we have to be good stewards of our families,
mm-hmm.
and our peers,
mm-hmm.
and strangers.
Right.
But, yeah. That's good.
That butt was there. Yeah. I think you're going somewhere. Where are you going with that butt? Come on.
Like, but if we're not... If we're not fully living a transformed life alone
mm-hmm.
in our dark, deepest thoughts, then we aren't good stewards
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of like a good, we always talk about a good image and having a good image and looking mm-hmm. good to people, but mm-hmm. when we surrender to Jesus, like our image, we die.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
And we die to our image to bear his.
Right.
In its place. And I think in a society, in the society we live in now, we're very like me first.
Mm-hmm.
The God, like our God is ourself.
Right.
And we want the best jobs. We're career minded.
Mm-hmm.
We want the most money, mm-hmm. most stuff,
mm-hmm.
the best reputation,
right.
status, the coolest talents.
Right. The best use of our gifts. Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting that we can take and spiritualize these things too, right? So again, yeah. why is the podcast called The Outsiders? Because we don't want to buy into church culture apart yeah. from Christ too, right? Because think yeah. about, you know, how often do we say, well, you know, if I can make a lot of money, I can give more money to the church. If I look good, I have a good testimony. And that doesn't yeah. mean that a testimony isn't good,
yeah.
but what we're saying is that the testimony is the means to itself. When I say testimony, what I'm actually saying is I want to look good to my neighbors,
yeah.
or I want to have just enough Jesus to be saved, but not enough to be different than anybody on the block.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's why I love the idea of outsiders so much is we clearly, if we're following Christ on any level, we're going to be outside the culture.
Yeah.
But if we fall into this trap of living just enough Christian life to fit in with our Christian friends,
yeah.
we're not following the way either.
Yeah.
So we want to be deeply biblical, like yeah. you were saying and hinting at with even our fellowship, our togetherness, right? Yeah. There's over 100 references to one another in the New yeah. Testament. The New Testament is meant to be lived
yeah.
in community,
yeah.
Not as a commune, but as community, right? We want to live together. And even in that, we bear one another's burdens, yeah. as it says in Galatians 6. And we hold each other accountable. We stir each other up for love and good works, as it says in mm-hmm. Hebrews 10. And so we want to be outside of that too.
Yeah.
We don't want just enough Jesus to look right to our new friends.
Yeah.
We want all of Christ for all of life.
Yeah.
And
100%.
And we just want to be radical in that way. Radically ordinary.
Yeah.
Because what we're talking about is what Jude 3 says. It's the faith once for all delivered. We're not living a Christian life that is different yeah. than what Paul or Peter, the apostles, lived. We're following the same tenets of Christianity hasn't changed. Culture might change.
Yeah.
Obviously, culture's changed, but Christianity hasn't.
No. And that's the, I was thinking of a plant when it comes to Christianity.
Mm.
And I think of a plant, and sometimes it grows bad leaves or bad branches.
Okay. Oh, sure. And so you're saying plant with a T.
Yeah, plant.
I thought plan with no T. No, okay, plant. I'm with you. Plant. Yeah, plant. I got you. Okay.
With a T.
Gotcha.
So I think of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking, I'm seeing dead branches. Mm-hmm. There's life in the center.
Yep.
Right in the, and you can see it.
Yep.
Sometimes there's these branches that kind of come out.
Yep.
And I think of that with like Christianity. Sometimes mm-hmm. there's these odd branches that come out, but eventually sure. they fall off before any of the other tree
right.
is ever taken.
Mm-hmm.
And the source of the tree is obviously the roots.
Mm-hmm.
And when mm-hmm. our roots are firmly planted in the Word of God, mm-hmm. and we're learning, and we're surrendering, and we're giving up,
mm-hmm.
and we're being together. Like yep. there's an album, one of my favorite albums is by Citizens, which is a Christian group, but it's called The Joy of Being. And they just did a live concert because they weren't able to tour
sure.
their new album or whatever. And
something happened last year.
Yes.
Weird.
I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, we'll think of it. We'll edit that in later.
Something's coming. But they couldn't tour it.
Sure.
So they did this online concert. Like everyone, like all a lot of bands are doing sure. it. But it was called The Joy of Being Together.
Mm.
And what sprung from that was beautiful.
Mm.
And that can be a community centered in on Christ, but even with that community centered in on Christ, it can go wrong too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Especially if we're not firmly fixated on, like, I want to, like, all of us, we need to be like Jesus.
Right.
We need to surrender. With, like, this isn't like a party.
Right.
This isn't a social club. Like,
right.
This is, we're going to be committed to the end because there's a chance that it might not happen in our life. There's a chance that we could lose our lives for the faith. And I don't think we can wrap, well, I don't think we wrap our minds around that.
Right, right.
Because what makes you think you're any better than the martyrs over in the Middle East?
Right.
Because you have a comfortable, like a comfortable country?
Right.
Like that, I look at that and like, and there's, a, I think some, I think maybe we all think, maybe it's probably come to our head at least once or twice, was like, man, I'm envious because I can't, my faith doesn't get tested.
Right. Sure. Or even, you or know, even the other side of it, would my faith hold up?
Yeah. Would I stand?
Would I be there? Right.
You know, right. If I stand, which Mullins?
There you go.
Whoa.
And it all comes dropping. Back. We were never not talking
dropping
about
Rich Mullins. Dropping the
mic. We were never not talking
Rack
about
a muffin. I'm just saying, like,
right?
What makes us? What makes? I'm gonna talk to the listener. Mm. What makes you think you're not susceptible to death?
Right.
We are called to die, even to ourselves or physically.
Right. Paul in Romans 12, where we started, a living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. The sacrifice is the giving of something.
That means if you have a job that's not lining up with the gospel, then you shouldn't have that job.
Right.
If you're living a life outside of church outside of the fellowship of believers or the gathering, that's totally opposite of what, unless your pastor's preaching like garbage. Like, I'm not like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it's not biblically centered, you're like, you're gonna be led astray.
Right.
But if you have a really solid pastor, which we don't give enough credit to.
Right.
Like, if you have a solid pastor that's preaching the word faithfully, even if that means he's not as popular, or he doesn't make as much, or he doesn't have the status.
Right.
Like, that, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're hitting great things. And I think on top of that, to even piggyback on more marks that we want to check ourselves in, like you said, if our job isn't lining up with the gospel, if our church isn't preaching the gospel, if we're not fellowshipping in the gospel, I would even go on to say, if you're married and you're not caring for your wife well, you're too busy.
Or your kids.
Or your kids. If you're not shepherding your kids, you're too busy. Yeah. You know, if you're in, and here's the dirty secret of Christianity is you can be doing good things on the outside and not honoring God on the inside.
If we both
claim to be Christians,
there's been a formula.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a formula set out.
Right.
And it's easy to like, and I think we all become checklist markers.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, so it's like,
right.
It's easy to do that.
Yeah. Because who doesn't want
this, and this, but no one knows if you don't have a personal relationship with anybody.
Right.
Then
yeah,
it won't matter. You can be like, you can be the film on top of a lake.
Right. Right. You know? How many pastors' kids say we were there every time the doors were open.
Oh, yeah.
And now I want nothing to do with
it. I'm raising my hand.
Right. And that's not because I'm taking shots at pastors' kids.
No.
I'm just saying that just the outward acts alone will never give us the salvation we so desperately seek.
Yeah.
Christ alone gives salvation. Christ alone changes hearts. But the beauty of it is like Paul says in Romans 12, when he transforms us and he gives us new desires. Now these things that were once burdensome and were once difficult to go to, now we want to go.
Yeah.
Right. Before we're saved, we don't want to spend time with that weirdo because he might ask me about my marriage. I'm tired of talking to him about it. But then once we're saved and once we're in Christ, we're thinking, oh, please let me bear my burdens.
Yeah.
Let me bear my soul to you because I know you're a sinner.
Yeah.
I'm a sinner. I am struggling with, I've been sleeping on the couch for a week. Help.
Yeah.
Right now, all of a sudden, we're not ashamed to say it. We're say, hey, you're my lifeline. You are the means that God uses to help me in this time.
Yeah.
And that's faithful. And that's radical.
Yeah.
That's outside the norm of Christianity today, right? Because they say the more Christian you are, the more you're supposed to have your life together. That's a lie.
That's a total lie.
Yeah.
That's a hard like statement to live up to.
Yeah.
Because I did it forever. Like,
sure.
That's what, you know, like, and I'm not going to bash anybody that I know, but it was hard. Like, for years, I just
sometimes like, I forget you were a pastor's kid.
Yeah.
And I mean, I knew you grew up in the church, but that comes with a certain kind of
stigma.
Yeah.
But for so long, I just I struggled. Mm. You know, I struggled with even believing.
Sure.
Because sometimes you see things that don't line up.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all fallen.
Yep.
But there's still a expectation that we're meant to be something that we're not.
Right.
Hey, this is Brandon from Outsiders Podcast. First off, thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Second, I want to talk about Anchor. What's Anchor, you ask? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Free. Yeah, I said it. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer, if you're into that kind of thing. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place, all in one place. So go to Anchor FM or your app store, download Anchor. Thank you. Podcast away.
When I think about pastor's kids and the fact I said a minute ago that I forgot you were one, and really we're growing up, you and I, so close to the church that I think even though our kids might not be pastor's kids, we might not ever become fully vocational ministers, we're still going to have kids that are going to be knitted together with people. And do you think that it could be, what do you think about that? Do you think that you want to protect your kids or warn your kids? I don't know what the word I'm looking for there is, but when you think about the fact that we're going to invest in the lives of the people that come to us in church, and our kids are going to be part of that.
Yeah.
They're going to make friends. Their friends are going to leave, you know, maybe because they left churches or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we're dads. I mean, maybe, just maybe, you could hear them in the background once in a while.
I was
going
to say,
you know,
they're down here somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, they're here. I mean, when we talk,
you can definitely hear my kid.
When we talk about living together, we podcast together. Yeah. We bring kids. That's how we roll. That's just the way it is.
I could hear Gideon's constant. It's either his train whistle noise or he's, I don't know what it is, but it's always high pitched. But when I think of being like a pastor's kid, this is kind of, it's, so I grew up with, my grandpa was a pastor, but he was the first generation Christian in our family.
Okay.
And then it was my dad. He was in the military, and then he went to Nazarene Bible College and was a vocational pastor. And then my uncle was as well.
I didn't know your uncle was.
Yeah. Two of them are not pastors anymore. They still follow the faith. But you can tell that it's definitely had an effect on some of the ways that you think are a little bit more cynical in some ways. Like, 'cause I am too.
Sure.
But that takes a... But Christ died for his church, and he's coming back for his church.
Right.
That means that we should love his church, even if we're a bunch of screw-ups.
And it hurts.
And it hurts. Because it hurts.
I've found that the Bible never tells you to do something you would do naturally.
Yeah.
We have to be told and then given the grace to do it.
Yeah.
So that includes loving the church, I think.
But I think with our families, because even if we don't become vocational, I don't have that in mind, I guess. At the moment, unless God changes my mind. But I think they just need to see us living it out in our everyday lives.
Yep.
Which, even if we have really terrible jobs or whatever that we personally despise.
Right.
We still live it out.
Mm-hmm.
We still live life with joy. We come home, we don't take our work frustrations out on them.
Yep.
Or our wives.
Right.
And we just, I don't always live it out. Because think about how the gospel was spread.
Right.
It wasn't by a bunch of celebrity pastors.
Nope.
With curated Instagram feeds with the perfect little 15-second bit.
And here's a hot take. I still don't think it's spread that way.
No, not at all.
But yeah.
You know who we're talking about.
Anyways, let the reader understand.
Just think about it. There's someone out there that might be on steroids.
It's hard to say. I mean,
I can't. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Let's just say this: those muscles.
He says he's a pastor.
His muscles didn't come from lifting his Bible.
I don't know. I was going to say the Bible's pretty light. Oh wait, no, it's not. What am I talking about?
It's hard to know.
But it's like I said, it came from average people.
Yes.
Spreading it to their families. Like, why are you living this way? Mm-hmm. Why don't you just give in to the Roman authorities and say, just bow to their gods? Because in their mindset, the gods. Or they're vengeful and wrathful. Mm-hmm. So if you don't bow to them, they're going to destroy our land.
Mm-hmm.
But this God, Yahweh, is a God of peace. Mm-hmm. And he brings us to the full unity and the full perspective. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, when you're there, you're there.
Right. You know, and you'll find, as dear listener, as you're with us, you'll see, one of us will make a point and the other one will read a Bible verse to confirm that point.
There it is.
And you know what?
Boom.
What Brandon is saying is really what Moses said in Deuteronomy 6, where he says, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. These words I command you today shall be on your heart. So they're on your heart first. And then what do? You shall teach them diligently to your children. That's exactly what you're talking about. It strikes us first. It forms us first. It breaks us first.
Yeah.
And then we take that and we teach it diligently to our children, to our wives. And it says, what I love here is, talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise.
Yeah.
Should bind them as a sign on your hand, meaning you're just always, it's always in front of you and you should be looking for it. So that's the way, right? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And you mentioned like 18 things in that, that little thing that I think could be full episodes.
Yeah.
Like what is being a Christian in the workplace look like, right? What is being a Christian dad who works 40 hours a week? You know, those are things that I wanted to know when I was a younger man. I mean, I will refuse to say I'm old, but
I say, I don't think you're old.
No, exactly right. Just to be clear.
I'm on the brink of 30.
Yeah. I used the phrase,
that tells you anything.
I used the phrase drip today and I think I used it right.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what it is either. I heard in a sentence. I think I used the same sentence. So
someone,
we'll see.
Yeah.
It's hard to know.
I was like, what?
Exactly.
Sometimes maybe I'm older than you because I don't even know any of this.
Well, you know, it keeps you young.
By the way, I just want to point out, it's fine. It's fine to be a Bible nerd.
Yeah, 100. If you don't like it, turn this off because that's where we're going to be.
Because like, I've been gawking and like just going nuts over the Old Testament and how all of it's connected together. And I'm like, what is going on here? like I text Brett the other day about Deuteronomy 34.
Yep.
And how I'm like, one, Moses didn't write it. Two, who the heck buried Moses? God obviously did.
Yes.
So that one's for you, Bryce, because I forgot to tell you. But
listener number three, hopefully. Hopefully he's number three.
I called him like, did you know that it doesn't tell?
Bro, have you read this book?
I was like, dude, did you know that it never tells us who buried Moses? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's God, but I'm trying to get confirmation from everyone. So I'm like, I'm freaking out. I'm like, what is going on here?
Exactly right.
I blew my mind. Like, it's right at the end of the Torah. He's dead. Who buried him? No one went up with him.
Oh, yeah.
Who did it?
Exactly right.
Nobody.
Yeah,
he just fell.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yep.
Like, and still to this day, they haven't found his body.
True.
Anyways,
100.
Moving on. How do we embody like something like an outsider in the Christian move, like in a Christian world, or a really secular anti-Christian world?
Yeah.
And what do we think? What do you think sticks out?
I think if we just continued reading in Romans chapter 12.
Yes.
So we started this podcast there. Mm-hmm. And if this is the last topic we cover, we could end here. And it's really for you listeners, it's verses 9 through 21.
Yep.
It's really one of, when we talked about this during our planning meeting about this podcast, this is just some of the most, I think we call them haymakers. I mean, it's just punch after punch after punch. And it's so countercultural. And where I think we came down on it was it's countercultural even in most of the churches we grew up in.
Yeah.
So we talk about being an outsider. Like what we mean when we say that, we mean being a Romans 12, 9 through 21 Christian. Yeah.
Which would be let your love be genuine and abhor evil and hold fast to what is good.
Right.
Or love one another with brotherly affection or outdo one another and showing honor.
But just think of what that means.
Yeah.
Outdoing one another in showing honor. I mean, we're in a culture of honor thieves, right?
Yeah.
Go to my Instagram. Go, you know, like my stuff.
I don't have social media.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, I'm basically dark. Like, I have accounts, but it's just to see what's happening. I haven't posted.
I'm assuming I'm on some sort of list.
I'm there. but we don't want to do that, right?
Yeah.
And even as Christians, we don't want to showing each other honor. We want to be honored. Part of why we dress a certain way or why we serve in certain ministries, it can be so easy to be like, I want to be honored. I want you to think that I'm awesome.
Yeah.
And what we're called to do is show.
Yeah.
Outdo each other. Yeah. You're giving me honor tonight. I want to give you even more honor.
Yeah.
And I think that's so countercultural.
Yeah. Well, I think of verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. I mean, look at that. Serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, which we're not, because we can't sit still. We
can't get quiet.
Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality.
Right.
Hospitality is a tough one, I think.
Right.
Because we're particular about our stuff.
Right.
And we don't want some dirty, rotten kid to come in and ruin our our feng shui or whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then bless those who persecute you. But
wait a minute, that's in there. Hang on. I don't know what version are you reading.
Bless and do not curse them. So instead of cursing back, bless them.
Right. You know, I taught this one time, and I don't think I made it up.
Yeah.
I think I heard it from somebody.
Yeah.
But if you've ever heard the expression, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
The Bible actually teaches if you can't say something nice, say something nice.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what that is, right? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. If you can't say something nice, bless them, right? And that's a supernatural thing.
Yeah.
But that's biblical Christianity. Yeah. It's not if you don't, it's say something nice.
Yeah.
Bless them.
Yeah. That means not gossiping, not talking trash about them, even if they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
Then it goes on to say, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So that means partnering with one another.
You have to be close.
In good and in bad.
Mm-hmm.
In like moments where you're like, I really don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to do it. But you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
That means being honest with each other.
Right.
And then it's live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly.
Wow. How would our lives change if we did that?
Mm. Yeah. Never be wise in your own sight. Which I think goes on to add on to what was that? Showing honor.
Yeah.
Other with honor.
Mm-hmm.
17.
Yep.
Repay no one evil for evil. That goes along with don't curse.
Yes.
Yeah. But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all.
Right.
And that doesn't mean giving into what people think is honorable. It's what God sets as honorable.
Right. That's the standard. Good call, Brandon.
Beloved, whatever. never avenge yourselves, so don't seek revenge, but leave it alone.
Right.
To the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. He will pay. Is it Psalms 86:4 or 89:4 maybe? It talks about his throne is justice and righteousness goes before us. I think I think it's 80.
It's in one that, of those. Yeah, two. It's in the ballpark. Yeah, I just tell the listeners start in 80 and read to 100.
Find
just find it. It's there.
You'll get it there. I have it somewhere.
Yeah, it's in the Bible.
Yeah. And then to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him.
Mm-hmm.
If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on your head, which you explained this morning. So I'll let you go on that. I'll finish it off. But 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So that means we're meant to fight, but we're meant to be peacemakers, not starting riots up in the Capitol or promoting our political agenda, which both are always angry at each other. So it's not like, so I was like, that kind of blows the whole but I think we can go on another rant, and I'm not going to do that here on this episode, at least, but it's like, we can go to the extent that maybe Christians shouldn't even be political in a way anyways. We should be seeking justice, and I'm not going to go into it. Yep. I'm just going to leave that alone.
We'll get there.
Because I'll get there for a while. Anyways, if whatever stranger I was associated with punk rock and hardcore metal, and we're definitely not for politics. Or metal, which is odd because punk is kind of political. But anyways, oxymoron life right here.
That's right. That's right.
You're contradicting yourself every time you talk. Why does this keep happening to me?
It just does.
It just rolling on out. Yeah, rolling the deep.
There it is.
That's what Adele would say.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
I'm going to find that verse, but you go ahead.
You all, you see, yeah, well, you look for that.
The heaping coals.
Yeah, so when we talked about it this morning, we looked at it really as, starting in verse 19 of that chapter, it says, "Never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. It says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." So what do we do to the contrary? Meaning, so instead of taking our own vengeance, what we do is we go the other way. If our enemy is hungry, well, we don't starve him out, we feed him. If he's thirsty, we don't cut off his water supply, we give him something to drink. And what we're doing is we're heaping these burning coals, meaning we're outdoing with honor, we're blessing. It's this word picture for what Paul has been dancing around with the entire 11 verses. Is he saying, this is what it looks like. This is what it's trusting God and letting everybody know that God settles all of the accounts justly.
Yeah.
We're not going to die
and
stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, you did me wrong. We're going to say, you did everything well. Yeah. Your justice is good. And you did vindicate me before my enemies, and your name was glorified. I didn't see it, maybe, and maybe I didn't like it. I wanted to take my own vengeance. I wanted to, stick it to that guy. I wanted to, show the whole world how much of a jerk he was. But God says, no, let me handle it, and you just be free to show the love of God through the act of being kind to your enemy. And really what it's going to do is it's just heaping coals. It's burning. It's giving them more condemnation. It's really a sad thing, right? Yeah. Because what's happening is all we're doing is living like Christ, and all it's doing for them is heaping more judgment. And that's sad. But we can have freedom of conscience to say, we did right by them, we did right by God. We didn't have to take our own vengeance, because God's vengeance is perfect. His justice is perfect. I think you found the verse.
I did find the
verse. Let's hear it.
So Psalms 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. So God is the righteous judge. He's the perfect judge. His foundation of his throne. And what goes before him is love and faithfulness.
Right.
And that's what we have to do.
Right.
You know, I think of being an outsider in some ways and always is being in our society and being a disciple, being a faithful disciple. There's a quote that I have found by Scott McKnight, which is on the Jesus Creed blog. It's a little long, but I'll read it to you. But it says, how did the word disciple go from someone we are, someone we are. There's no punctuation. No punctuation there, so it's confusing me. Sorry. Start over. Goodness gracious.
Happens to the best of us.
It's like something's wrong with. Never mind. But anyways, something's wrong with my punctuation. That's what happened. So, how did the word disciple go from someone we are to something we do, to an achievement to be mastered, like graduating from college, In the day of Jesus, a disciple would move in with their rabbi. They would be with the teacher 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sure, the student wanted to learn what the teacher knew, but they also wanted to learn how the rabbi lived. When Jesus asked if the disciples wanted to leave, Peter responded by saying that only Jesus had the words of life. Mm-hmm. I find Peter's response interesting. Notice he didn't say Jesus had the words of righteousness or the way to get to heaven.
Yep.
Peter said Jesus had the words of life. More than having a lot of good knowledge, Jesus knew how to live. And then this is where it ends. It was that life Peter and his friends wanted from Jesus. You learn how to live life by living with Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that means being with him daily, hourly, every minute, every second. Mm-hmm. And I found that very, when I read it, like, he had the words of life. And isn't that what we want?
Yep.
You know, don't we want like to live better lives?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to be able to combat situations that we cause ourselves in mm-hmm. our marriages,
mm-hmm.
or being grumpy but grumpy dads?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But do you have anything
close? Well, I mean, if we're gonna talk about Jesus as life. Jesus as light. Let me read to the beginning of John, the book, just a few chapters before what Peter said in John 6 about you have the words of eternal life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now listen to this. This is so powerful about Christ. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Yeah.
Not that you can add to the words of Scripture, but the story I always heard is no amount of darkness can ever overpower light. So think about being in the middle of a dark tunnel with no natural light, and you light a match. That darkness will never overtake that light.
Yeah.
Darkness can never envelop light. Light always shines through. I think that is, in creation, one of the most vivid pictures of Christ being life and the light of life.
Yeah. I think I want to end this episode. Obviously, it's longer.
Long form, we call it.
Yeah. It's a great conversation.
We'll do this for hours. Yes. We cut this down for the listeners. Yes.
But I want to end, at least outsiders, this episode with just a simple statement that Jesus would make to his disciples when they first encountered each other. And it says, so the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me.
Mm.
And live by those words. Live by the words, follow me. Because, and don't question it. Just follow him.
Mm.
Wherever he takes you, wherever he leads you. This is Outsiders Podcast. Thanks for enjoying and listening, and share it wherever you are. It's on all platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. What's another one? There's one called Breaker. There's a bunch of different ones that you can find. We'll see you on the next episode.
We'll be back, baby.
Thanks for listening.
Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.